Okay, so we're continuing in our series of 1 Peter. I don't know if you've been here the past 2 weeks, but Peter, this is a real short recap. He's writing to a bunch of Christians in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, and they're living at a time of persecution and hardship. And he's writing to encourage the church, to encourage the bunch of Christians, that we've got a living hope. As believers in Christ, we've got a living hope and a call for them to live holy lives. So we're going to pick up today what Peter's got to say for himself in 1 Peter 1, 17 to 21. And it says this. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you have been redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and your hope are in him. Okay, so straight away, verse 17, Peter kicks off and he says, because you view God and you call him as Father, he's holy, he's perfect, he's a fair judge. These things aren't up for debate. That is what they are. That's what Peter says. Because of these things, in view of these things, I'm really sorry, I feel really far away from that side of the church. Hello. Okay, and what does Peter say? Just picked up on it earlier, he says, in your time here on earth, live as a foreigner. Now, I found out late in the day that the young people were staying in a service. And because I knew they were staying in, I put a hashtag before my point. Do you like it? If you don't understand, because you're slightly older than a young person, don't worry. But I was really impressed that I'm still a trendy youth worker. I don't know what the term foreigner conjures up for you. For me, this depicts what a foreigner is. Neither of those white people are me, by the way, just in case you're wondering. A foreigner, I don't know if you've ever been one or ever experienced a time when you've been in a culture that is so different from your own. When I was 18, a friend and I went to Thailand, and there was an experience. We was in this train station, and everywhere, all the signs were in Thai. We didn't have a clue. We was trying to buy a ticket, talking to this guy. He didn't speak a word of English, thinking, like, I don't even know where we're going to end up on this train. And all of a sudden, over the tannoy, like, came on like this siren or this bell, and everyone stopped what they were doing. There was silence, and everyone stood up. And they stood up, and then over the tannoy played this song or this tune. And I said to my mate as we were sat on our bags, do you think we need to stand up? She's like, yeah, people are looking serious now, we need to stand up. And so we stood up, and what it was, they were singing the national anthem. And there's a time in the day where everyone kind of stops, and out of respect for the king, everyone stands up on their feet and stops what they're doing. And that's what they did. In that moment, I've never felt so different in all my life, because there's people understanding what's going on, understanding where they are, understanding how to buy a ticket, how to get to where they're going, and there's me and my mate just like, yeah, we might need to pray that we get the right ticket. We were so different, and I tell you what, I've never felt so far away from home as I did in that moment. I felt different, and I felt away from home. I was a foreigner. And this is what Peter says. He says to this group of Christians, you're living in a hostile place. Things are tough and things are difficult. Don't try and fit in. Be different. Because guess what? Earth is not your home. There's something greater that is yet to come. Now, I wonder for us, how does that relate to our lives? See, we're currently, thank God, not in a position of this bunch of Christians where we're walking through life and we're being persecuted for our faith. We don't actually know what it means. The rise of ISIS and it being all around the news, that kind of puts it on our radar a little bit. But we've got no understanding, truly, of what it is to be persecuted for our faith. And yet, we still live in a culture that is really hostile to God, is really anti-God. It says, you do what you want, when you want, with who you want, and don't worry about it. You haven't got to worry about it. and what does that mean for us? Do we try and fit in? No, Peter says, be different. Be different. Live differently. Because your time on earth, there's something greater to come after it. So I spoke last week. I don't know if you was here. I listened to it online, and I must say it was quite a good sermon. Quite good means really good. And he talked about those people who are running around next to us, who are chasing after success and money and power and relationships. We're called to live differently, to not run over after those things, to not pursue those things, to be different. Because if we run after them and we don't get them, we end up unhappy. And if we run after them and we get them, we end up unsatisfied. And Peter knew this. And that's why he's encouraging the Christians, be different. What else? It's not just kind of what we pursue, but we're called to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. When someone wrongs us, how do we respond as followers of Jesus? How are we different? When we're hurt, when things are tough, when things are difficult, what do we do? Who do we run to? What do we run to? We're called to be different, church. We're called to be different. We're called to be a foreigner. Because you know what? There's a future promise to us that it says in chapter 1, verse 4. The promise that's to come is an inheritance that won't spoil, it won't fade, and it won't perish. And Peter's saying, in good or tough times, no matter how hard it gets, this is not your home. No matter how much you love earth, no matter how much you love the things on earth, we're only here for a blink of an eye. And then we get to spend eternity with Christ if we trust in him. Be a foreigner. What else does it say in verse 17? It says, live your lives in reverent fear. Now, reverent fear kind of means holy fear, a fear of God. The Bible talks about two types of fear. It talks about fearing God. Why are you smiling? Fearing God and fearing everybody and everything else. There's two types of fear. Now, I think we tend to reduce the fear of God down to respect. We say the fearing God means to respect God. And I think there's an element of that that is true, but I also think when the Bible sometimes says fear God, it means fear God. Now, that's not a fear that you run away from. I don't know what your phobia is. For me, I've got quite a few. Normally, if they crawl or if they fly, if they've got more legs than me. If I see a spider, I saw one a couple of weeks ago, and I was by myself in a house, and it was dark. And so I had to deal with it myself. And so I manned up. And I got my flip-flop. I was like, I'm going to kill this spider. And so, like, I run towards this spider, and I was like, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. Bosh! Ah! And then run back again. And I kind of repeated that process, probably for about 5 or 10 minutes. And I was sweating, and I was screaming. And every time I run towards a spider, I run back even further. The fear of God isn't a fear that causes us to run away from him. It's a good fear. It's the kind of fear that you don't put your hand into a fire because you know you're going to get burnt. Or like this picture, Paul and I were away, we were sat on the balcony and it was pitch black. And we were overlooking the sea. All you could hear was the sea. You couldn't see anything, like literally not your hand in front of your face. And then a lightning storm happened. Now, I don't know if you've seen one, not like a crack of lightning, but I mean a storm that goes on for ages. It was something amazing. Like, all of a sudden, utter darkness turned like someone had put on a floodlight torch. Everything lit up. You could see the whole sea. You could see the beach. You could see all the buildings around. You could hear the crackling of the lightning. And I tell you what, I was so scared. So scared. I got up and I went inside and I was like, Paul, I think I'm going to die. I think the lightning is going to strike me down. And Paul's like, Jen, it's not all about you. And so when I got over the fact that the lightning wasn't going to actually strike me on my balcony and I was quite safe, I went back out and I watched this storm without the fear of this storm's going to kill me, but actually with such amazement and such awe and just wow. But at the same time, there was no way that I was going to dress in metal and run out and say, come and get me, lightning. I wasn't going to mess with it. It had like this whole air about it that you don't mess with me, I'm something spectacular. And I think the fear of God is like that. That God is awesome, God is amazing, that we can stand and look at the works that he's done and say, wow. And yet he's not somebody to be messed with. And so Peter says, live your lives as foreigners and live your lives with perfect fear. Not a fear that runs away, but a fear that runs towards, because he's a perfect heavenly father. That's how Peter starts off in verse 17. As a father, he's perfect. Perfect. That's why we can fear him, because he's perfect. Now, I don't know if you're thinking, yeah, all right, Peter, fear God. Like, what do you actually know? Peter knew quite a bit what it was to be fearful. Back in the Gospels, at the time of Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion, Peter was the one who someone come up to and said, hey, you're the one who knocks about with Jesus, ain't ya? And he's like, whoa, no. Yeah, you are. You sound like you're one of his followers. And he goes, no. And they say, you're a follower of Jesus. And in that moment, he says no. And he denies Christ. Because he was fearful, not of God, but of man. He was fearful of what the reaction may have been towards him if he had been found out to be a follower of Jesus. He feared God less than he feared man. And yet you roll forward in Acts chapter 2. It's like less than 2 months later of that moment when Peter was really fearful of the situation he was in. And the people that was talking to him, he stands up in front of a crowd of people and delivers an amazing speech about who Christ is. And it's also believed that Peter died for his faith and was crucified upside down on a cross. There's a man who changed from fearing man to fearing God, and it had amazing consequences for him. Peter says, live your lives in fear of God. In reverent fear, in holy fear. Not fear of man, fear of God. Now let me ask you this. Who do you fear more? Do you fear God? Or do you fear your friends and your family and your colleagues and what they've got to say about your Christian life and following Jesus? Do you fear situations and circumstances round about you more than you fear our perfect Heavenly Father? Peter says, live your lives in reverent fear, in holy fear. And why does he say that? Verses 18 to 19, if you have a look. Why live your life as a foreigner? Why live your life as somebody who needs to fear God and not fear man? Quite simply, because of the cross. Verse 18 starts off and it says, for you know. He says to the Christians, it's not up for debate. I'm not going to debate these things with you. For you know this stuff. You know it. It's not new news. For you know, you have been redeemed. Now, if you've ever watched a Hollywood movie like Taken or Ransom or something, there's normally a story about redemption in those kind of films. And what normally happens is you've got a happy family. Normally the dad's like a politician or part of the FBI or something. And someone comes and nicks the kid. Nicks the kid, takes him away, ties him up, says, phones the dad and says, I'm going to kill your kid unless you give me $10 million. And then for the next hour and a half, it's like really long and drawn out. I love these kind of films. And the dad's getting together the money. He's talking to the police, like, how are we going to do this? I've got to get my child back. And then there's a moment of which the dad rocks up, either by himself, if he's a hero, or with the police, and he hands over a suitcase full of cash so that his child can come free. That's what it means to be redeemed. And do you know what? The Bible says Jesus redeemed us. Jesus' death means that we can go free. And what are we free from? Verse 18, we're free from the empty way of life that has been passed down to you. Now, we don't know here in this passage if it means Jewish fathers teaching their children or if he's talking about the pagan and godless way of life. Either way, Peter's saying, you have been redeemed, you've been saved from this meaningless way of life. I don't know if you look about people and you see people live, they breathe, and they die. And sometimes life just seems a bit pointless. Peter says, you are redeemed, you're freed from that way of life. You're free from it. You're free from a lifetime and an eternity without God. You're free from the punishment that you deserve for the stuff that you do wrong that offends God. You are free from being a slave to sin. You're free from the stuff that other people have done to you. You are saved and you are free. We are free. We are free because of Jesus, because of what happened on the cross. And verse 19, what was the cost? What was the cost of that? Now, it wasn't with $10 million in a suitcase. There was a cost that was involved in that freedom. And it wasn't in terms of silver or gold or things that are perishable. It says that in verse 19. We are freed through something so much more costly. So much more costly. It says the blood of the Lamb, perfect and without blemish. Now, if you know a bit about the Old Testament, you'll know that there was animal sacrifices for various different reasons. One was to take away sin. And when you offered an animal to God, you didn't go and get your gammy, manky, like three-legged sheep out of your field. You gave God the best that you had to give him. You didn't give one that kind of was a bit boss-eyed and kind of didn't know what he was doing for himself. You gave him the finest animal that you had, because it would be costly for you. And Jesus is that sacrificial lamb. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 7, that he's that sacrifice. Hebrews 9, that the death of one, the death of Jesus, takes away the sins of many. There was a cost. There was a cost to the Father, and that was Jesus. And despite us not deserving it, Jesus died. And Peter says that. He says, you're free. You're redeemed. And it's at a cost to the Father. Something so much more costly than silver and gold. We're free from God's judgment and a life and eternity without him if we trust in him. And guess what? It wasn't an afterthought. Verse 20. Take a look at that. God knew from the creation of the world what his plan was. You know, I think sometimes we think, oh, you know, God sat there in heaven and he was like, look at those people. They've got themselves into right old pickle. What am I going to do now? Plan A didn't work. You know, I'll send Jesus as a plan B. No, that's not the case. The Bible doesn't say that. John says right at the start of creation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they were there together. And at the perfect time, Jesus came in the form of man to do what he was sent to do, what he was born to do, and that was to die. It wasn't an afterthought. Jesus knew from the start of creation that we're a dying world in need of a savior. We're sick and we need a healer. And he says, I'm going to send Jesus. Peter's saying to this bunch of Christians, you've been purchased at a price. Remember that. Remember your way of life, your former way of life before you came to faith, that is meaningless now. Fear God. Live differently because you've been redeemed. Because you've been redeemed. Now, I wonder for us here this morning, like, what does that do to you when you hear that? Are you like, wow, that is amazing. That is amazing that I'm freed at a cost. Or maybe you just think, nothing new there, I've heard that before. Sometimes I think we need our head knowledge to sink a little bit to our hearts, to be reminded of this amazing truth once again. This is the reason. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you're a Christian because of this truth. And it's amazing that we get to look at it again and say, thank you, Jesus, for your death, that I can live differently, that I can fear God because of what Christ has done on the cross. We are free. Now, normally what happens in those movies that I was talking about earlier, when the kid is freed, when the ransom is paid, what you normally see is the child runs towards their father and there's a warm embrace and there's tears and it's kind of all emotional, even though it's Hollywood. That child is no longer fearful of being held in captivity. They're no longer fearful of the people who have been holding them bound. They're no longer fearful of the past because they've been reunited with the Father. And you know what, guys? That's true for us. At the end of the passage in verse 21, it talks about the hope and the faith that we're to have in God. Because one day, we're going to see the Father and we're going to be able to run into his arms because we have been freed. And freed at a cost. and not a cost to us. Freed from the consequences of sin, from death, from the hurts of others, from sickness, we're free. And do we live like this? Do we live like we're free? Maybe we don't realise the extent to which we're free this afternoon, nearly. I nearly said this morning. Maybe we don't realise the extent to which we're free. Peter says, you're redeemed at a cost to the Father. Or maybe we know it, but we think, do you know what, I'm not really feeling that whole living differently, because that's hard work. I'd rather be disobedient than to stand out a little bit from my friends and my family, from my mates at school and at college and in the workplace. I'm not really feeling that, be different. Peter says, be different. Simon said last week, when he was looking at a passage before this, be holy because God's holy, be different. It's kind of like, there's no in between. You either be different or you don't. If you trust in Jesus, that God has rescued you, John 8 verse 36 says, who the Son has set free is free indeed. Okay. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you've ever had it when God puts his finger on something in your life and says, you know what, that's not great, you need to sort that out. And we're quite good, or I'm at least, I'll speak for myself, I will own this, I'm quite good at ignoring kind of the voice of God and what God's got to say if I don't actually want to change my ways. And God kept putting his finger on something and said, Jen, you've got to sort this out. Because I wasn't living differently. I was living no differently to my non-Christian friends when it came to this thing. And one Sunday, I was like sat in a tent. It was a bit random, but as you do. And music was playing about being free. And it's like God was saying, Jen, it's time to live differently. And it's time to fear me and not all that stuff that you're fearful of. Because I've bought you at a price. This needs to make a difference to the way that you're living out your life in a way that it's not. And in that moment, I repented and I was like, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've been doing my own thing. I've not been different. I've not been fearing you. I've been taking for granted the fact that Christ died so that I could be free. And I tell you what, there was joy. And there was peace like I've never experienced for a long, 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 long time when it came to this one thing. And the Bible says if you fear God, there's joy in that, there's life in that, there's peace in that. Because we're free, we are free. So we look back to the cross. Peter, in these really short verses, causes the Christians to look back to the cross, to look back to their old way of life, their life that they've been saved from. But also, keep your eye ahead. Because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is returning. And if we trust in the one who died a costly death for us, we get to run into the arms of the Father. Now, that should empower the Christians in Asia Minor to live differently, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of dying for their faith. And if it does that for them, what should it do for us this afternoon in Bethnal Green? That's a call to persevere. That's a call to keep on going. That is good news. So it boils down to this. Live like a foreigner. Fear God because you've been redeemed and freed at an unbelievable cost. So let me ask you this. Tomorrow when you go to work, when you meet parents in the playground, when you go to school or to college, where you're at home, when you go shopping, do you live differently? Because it's easy to say that we do, but actually do our lives show anything different to our non-Christian friends and family and colleagues and neighbours? Do we fear God or do we fear man? Do we fear God or do we fear situations that we're in that seem a bit overbearing? And what about this? Do we really, 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 really know really know that we've been redeemed, that we've been freed because of what Christ has done on the cross for us. Now, if you've forgotten those truths or that truth, you know, let's pray that God reminds us afresh this morning, deep in our spirits, that when we go away from here, we remember that. Or maybe you think, oh, you know, it's just too tough, Jen. You don't understand the kind of persecution that I face. You know what? I don't, but God does. And we can pray together that you'll stand firm, that you'll be different, and that you'll have a greater fear of God than you will of man. Or maybe you're here this afternoon and you're thinking, do you know what? This is new news to me. You mean that I can be saved from my meaningless way of life? Yes, you can. That is the good news that Christians believe. That if your life, if you feel like it's a bit meaningless, what is the point? You can have life to the full, and you can have an eternity and a hope that far outweighs anything that you will ever experience on earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the words of Peter to the Christians in Asia Minor facing situations and circumstances that we can only imagine what it was like. And that he spoke such truth to them, a call for them to be different and to fear you because we've been redeemed, because we've been set free. And Father, for us this afternoon, would you really remind us of that truth, that we're free? If we trust in Jesus, we are free. And God, if some of us need to know that we need to pull our socks up and start living in a different way, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us this afternoon of those things, those areas that displease you. And God, if in our attitude and our walk with you and our friendship with you, if we kind of are messing about with you a little bit and really not having that fear that you call for us to have, I pray that you'll shape us up. That we will be marked out as different people in the world that we live, so that you might be glorified. Holding on to the truth, God, that one day we're going to see you face to face. That is the hope we have as believers, and that we're going to run into the arms of the Father. And he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant.